Hi, everyone. I'm John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle, and thanks for joining us on the podcast. Our guest is Farhan Zaidi, the Giants' president of baseball operations, and he shares in our wide-ranging discussion his thoughts on manager Gabe Kapler. We'll touch on the Dodgers series, the fast starts by Mike Yastrzemski and Donovan Solano, the slow starts by Hunter Pence and Pablo Sandoval, and what's up with Joey Bart. Enjoy.
Well, thanks for joining me, Farhan. How are you doing these days?
Hey, doing well. Thanks, John.
Wanted to ask you, first of all, your impressions so far. I mean, the offense has been impressive in many ways, including the ability to come back from early deficits, never a good thing, but the rotation wasn't all that efficient early on. And then lately with Cueto and Gausman in L.A., very promising. The defense has been down, obviously, leading the majors in errors, and there's some fundamental issues. But, there's been good and bad. And as we sit here, the Giants are 7-10. So I just wanted to ask early impressions. Well, we're at the quarter point, so it's not that early, I guess, in 6 days.
Yeah, no, very much so. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's been a mixed bag. There's been things we've been really encouraged by, certainly, like you mentioned, the offense overall, but also the resiliency of the offense to come back in certain scenarios. Obviously, Solano and Yaz have done an amazing job, put up huge numbers and gotten a lot of big hits for us. Defensively, look, we're not a team that has a ton of team speed. We're not going to have a ton of range in the field, but I think, an aspect of the defense that's been a little disappointing and has, shown up in some big times in certain games is, some of the fundamentals. You look up and down our roster, we've got a lot of really sound veteran defenders who, will make plays consistently in the field and, unfortunately, in a couple of spots, the defense has bitten us a little bit. And, to your point on the pitching staff, the rotation is really coming together. Gausman's start in LA, like you mentioned, was phenomenal. And Johnny really battled and did a great job keeping that offense off balance. And again, those would be impressive starts against any team, but, a lineup like that, it's particularly impressive. And, obviously Logan Webb's done a really nice job for us. And as those guys kind of get stretched out more and we're able to build up their pitch counts, I see them taking on more of the load, which I think will, help alleviate a little bit of what the bullpen's, done and had to do so far this year. We've got a younger bullpen and I think we kind of need to get in a position where we can protect them a little bit, and so we're clearly moving in that direction, and there's a lot of positive signs on the pitching staff as well.
You mentioned Mike Yastrzemski, Donovan Solano. Wow, I mean, too bad there's no All-Star game for these guys this year. They've been on fire. I mean, Yaz earning the everyday status after proving himself last year, including reverse splits and all this defense anywhere you put him, and Solano pretty much hit his way into the everyday role this year. I mean, What do you say about them in particular, and who gets the credit for finding these guys? Obviously, you dealt for Yastrzemski, you brought in Solano, but I mean, there's a larger crew involved too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the credit goes to these players because they were sort of in a situation where almost pretty much any organization in baseball probably could have acquired them, and the fact that they took on the challenge ahead of them and have both improved in really measurable ways. I really think the credit goes to these guys. And, not only are they doing a great job carrying the offense, but they're kind of an example of, I think, the way we want our team and roster to operate, which is it's sort of a meritocracy. I mean, these guys don't necessarily have pedigree, but, they earned a spot on the roster. We actually, platooned Yaz some last year, as hard as that is to believe. And certainly Solano started off in a platoon role, but they both demonstrated that, when you make the most of your opportunities, there's a chance for that role to grow. So I think those guys are, great models as we go through this season and other guys get opportunities that, You know, you can expand your role and get more of an opportunity if you're able to take advantage of the opportunity that you're given.
Well, the optics didn't look all that great over the weekend. You could have beaten the Dodgers 2 of 3 at least. But just wanted to ask about Gabe Kapler. Okay, first year in San Francisco, 2 years in Philly. He's replacing the legend, obviously, Bochy, heading to the Hall of Fame. But the pitching moves over the weekend, if I may. You know, Friday, Samardzija, 81 pitches through 4. He gave up the 3 homers and then went back out there, hit a couple guys, walked a guy, and then came out and went on the injured list the next day with the shoulder. But in Cueto the next day, 5 hitless, and then that ball falls behind Hunter Pence, first hit. And then, you know, we found out later it was a toe blister that was bothering him. But still, he was in to face Turner, who hits the 3-run homer. Giants win, but, you know, great relief. And then Sunday, you know, Gausman, electric stuff, 80 pitches.
Yeah.
One batter into the 7th, he comes out. The stuff was still there, it seemed. Rodgers came in, 2nd straight day after a great 2-inning Saturday. And Pollock, he faced 2 straight days, hit the home run, and Giants lose. But, you know, and also the mound visit mistake, which he owned up to as a mental screw-up. But your observations, especially with fans, maybe not too happy with some of the moves, you know, through the first couple of weeks.
Right. I think that's a kind of fair description of what happened over the weekend. And I do think it kind of demonstrates that Abe is under the microscope a little bit. And look, let's face it, when you make a pinch hit move, you know, even the best pinch hitter in the world is going to making out 60-65% of the time. And, you know, does that mean that you were wrong to make the move? You know, that I think, you know, remains a question. And on the pitching side, when you take a pitcher out, a reliever comes in and, you know, gives up the big homer or gives up a couple of base runners, you know, it's hard to know what the pitcher that was in the game would have done. It's hard to know how the rest of the game would have unfolded. But, you know, I think Gabe's under a little bit of a microscope. Because of some of what you alluded to in Philadelphia, and also the fact that this is a roster that is going to have to be managed pretty actively. You know, we've got, you know, on the position player side, we've got some platoons that have actually been productive for us. And, you know, like we talked about with Solano and Yaz, guys have the opportunity to earn more playing time, but the platoons have worked well for us in a lot of cases. And on the pitching side, certainly early in the year, there's more of a burden on the bullpen, like we talked about. I think that's going to be eased going forward. But, you know, some of that has resulted in going to the bullpen, I think, before you would necessarily want to do it in a perfect world. And kind of just to talk about each of the 3 scenarios over the weekend, you know, with Sharp, we had no indication of any kind of injury, shoulder-related-wise, going into that game. And obviously, he didn't have his best stuff. He was kind of fighting his way through it. I know that Gabe and Shark have had conversations about Shark wanting the ball and wanting to go deep into games. And frankly, in that situation, you know, I know that Krug and Kipe talked about it on the broadcast. Like, at some point, you know, you're in the first game of a 3-game series against the Dodgers. You've got to go to Houston and play 3 more after that against a tough lineup. And, you know, whoever your starter is in that first game, even if he falls behind, he's probably got to eat up outs and save the bullpen a little bit. So I think that was the thought process on Shark. You know, the Cueto one, you know, frankly, I think it was a tough call because, you know, in a lot of ways, Cueto still had a no-hitter when he gave up that homer to Turner. And, you know, he certainly pitched to Bellinger carefully in walking him, but he had just gotten, you know, Mookie Betts out, gotten a big out there. So, you know, I think that was another case of a veteran guy who, you know, has had conversations with a manager about wanting the ball, wanting to get through innings and get the big out. And look, ultimately, it's still a judgment call. And you leave a guy in and he gives up a homer and you're going to be judged for that. That's the gig of being a major league manager. And then yesterday with Gausman, you know, I think that was, as much as anything, just a vote of confidence in the bullpen, you know, recognizing the job that Rodgers had done the day before. And I know people will make the point, well, they'd seen him a lot. He was a submarine guy. But, you know, he was also one pitch away from getting out of that inning. And if that last curveball had had a little more break on it, you know, we're probably not having this conversation. But, you know, I think our big takeaway is, you know, Gausman over the last two starts has shown really impressive stuff. The stuff we saw from him yesterday is, I think, as well as he's thrown the ball in his career. And so I think that'll certainly earn him, you know, more rope and the chance to go deeper into games going forward.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And obviously you beat Kershaw on Saturday, Slater, two home runs. Yaz hit one, a rare by a lefty. But I guess it goes without saying you totally support Gabe Kapler, stand by him. You're all in on him being the guy to bring the Giants into the new era.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, as we've discussed, we have a roster that's going to, you know, require some active management, and that puts the manager under the microscope. I mean, you look at some of the wins that we've had this year, and he's done a great job navigating, you know, some late inning situations and really helped win some games for us. And, you know, sometimes you get your hand caught in the cookie jar. That's what happens when you go to the bullpen. So, you know, I think the big thing, John, is as we sit here, is we're 7-10. We could have easily won one or two more games, if not more. You know, feel like we should have a better record than we do, and I think that's an indication of our optimism going forward. But, you know, as the old Bill Parcells quote goes, you know, you are what your record says you are. Right now, we're 7-10, so we have some work to do.
Yeah, sure. Now, Hunter Pence, Pablo Sandoval, five titles between them, team leaders, very likable people among teammates, among fans, I'm sure management. But, you know, you're trying to get younger guys playing time. How long of a leash might these two folks have going forward, because their batting average is not indicative of their career marks?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a tough one in a shortened season like this where, you know, these guys have 30 at-bats, but like you said, we're past the quarter mark of the season. So how do you balance those two things? And, you know, I think you're seeing some adjustments as the season goes on. You know, Wilmer Flores was a guy who initially we viewed maybe playing a little bit more against left-handed pitching, but has done a nice job, and his role has expanded. And, you know, he's going to be in there more against righties, you know. And other guys who are struggling, maybe their roles get reduced a little bit as a result. I mean, to your point, those guys are great in the clubhouse. You know, I think we're still seeing signs of them. You know, Pablo had a couple good at-bats yesterday, worked a walk. Hunter, you know, had a nice single to right field in the game on Saturday. So, you know, we're seeing some positives. But to your point, you know, it's getting relatively deep into the season. And, you know, at some point, I think Cap, the hitting group, you know, and the entire coaching staff is going to feel like we've kind of got to go with the hot hands.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. OK, speaking of positives, you pulled off two recent trades Sunday with the White Sox. Luis Basabe, who's an outfielder of many talents, number 11 prospects with them. And it's said that, you know, he might be among the top 20 with you. Good defender, speed, power, big home run in the Futures game off a 102-mile-per-hour pitch. And that's in the wake of another trade when you sent Billy Hamilton to the Mets for the pitcher, Jordan Humphreys. I mean, these are possible impact guys of the future, right? I mean, the fan base was pretty impressed, I think, with these two trades. Could you speak of them?
Yeah, I think, you know, We've talked about it. I mean, we are in a position where, especially with a short season with 16 teams making the playoffs, we really want to keep our eye on the present. And to your point, you know, we've got guys like Pablo and Hunter who are on one-year deals, and they're just here to help us win games right now. I mean, there's no, you know, it's all about the present with them. But, you know, at the same time, we have to keep, you know, our eyes open for opportunities that may develop to acquire guys like Humphreys and Basabe. And frankly, some of that is just coming from the roster constraints that teams are facing trying to get through this season. You know, with a 40-man roster, we've had a lot of injuries. You're dealing with a 60-man player pool as opposed to just having, you know, dozens of players available in the minor leagues. So I think that's creating some opportunities, which we're going to keep our eyes open for. And, you know, hopefully these guys can help us in the future. Basabe in particular is a guy who's been a top 100 prospect, who had a really good season in 2018. battled some injuries last year. And, you know, to White Sox credit, they've done an amazing job developing young outfield talent, Luis Robert, some of the other guys that they have. And that made Basabe expendable in their organization, whereas, you know, he could get a real opportunity with us. So certainly excited to have him.
You're listening to Farhan Zaidi on Giant Splash. After this quick break, I'll ask about Joey Bart. Stay tuned.
We couldn't have a podcast without a Joey Bart question. And I understand Joey and Patrick Bailey aren't just catching in Sacramento, but also playing some first base. And how's that been going? And is it because Posey's coming back next year, and this is a way to get one or both of those in the lineup next year?
Right. You know, there's certainly a lot of factors at play, and you know, the first and foremost thing, just focusing on Joey, is just his development and making sure that when we push the button, he's ready. And you know, I've spoken about this some publicly. You look at guys like, you know, Mookie Betts and Mike Trout, and those guys had 500-600 at bats in Double A, Triple A. You know, I think back to when I was in LA. You know, some of the call-up decisions that we face with guys like Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger, you know, those guys had, you know, 600-700 at-bats at the AA and AAA level before we called them up. And even at that point, we were wondering whether it was the right time. Yeah. So it's not Joey's fault. I mean, he battled injuries last year, and unfortunately with what we're facing this year, you know, I still view him as getting important reps because he's facing – you know, good pitching in Sacramento. We've got guys like Derek Rodriguez and Andrew Suarez. Those guys are with the taxi squad right now, but, you know, he had the opportunity to face those guys as well as other guys that are AAA big league pitchers. And I think those are valuable reps. And, you know, I've heard, a little bit of the rallying cry, like, what do we have to lose? And what we have to lose is, you know, putting Joey Bart on a career path that doesn't allow him to get the most out of his ability. What we have to lose is calling him up, you know, maybe a little too early, having him struggle, having that impact his confidence. And, you know, that's the last thing we want to do. And frankly, we would rather be, you know, a little bit late on calling him up than a little bit early on calling him up. And, you know, that is not to suggest that we have any notion of what the right time is, you know, that we're waiting for a certain date, or that we wouldn't do it by a certain time. But we're just continuing to collect information. And as much as anything, you want to feel like when you call him up, it's absolutely the right time. And if he starts out 0-12 or, you know, 0-20, no one's going to say, hey, did we call this guy up too early? We're going to feel like this is the right time. We're just going to keep running him out there. And when we get to that point, we'll see him up here.
Yeah, in the meantime, I think we might have put to rest the thought that the Giants were holding them back for service time issues to get that extra year, because that 7 days have come and gone a long time ago. But anyway, speaking of Sacramento, you made a point. I mean, the great thing about a minor league season is facing so many other teams and so many other kinds of pitchers. But I've always wondered about this. How can the hitters you're mentioning and all the others benefit at these alternative sites when they keep seeing the same pitchers over and over?
Right. I mean, I guess that's sort of how we really prepared for the season. Our inter-squad games were sort of the same thing. I still think it's meaningful anytime, you know, you're facing, you know, AAA, Major League caliber pitching on a day-in, day-out basis. I mean, you know, we've got a number of guys down there. You're not going to be facing the same pitcher or pitchers every day. So I think there's some variety. And look, every at-bat is different. Every time you face somebody like a Derek Rodriguez, he's going to throw different pitches. He's going to sequence you differently. And you know, as we know, there's just no substitute for that. It's not like batting practice. It's not like hitting off of a pitching machine, to be able to face quality major league pitching on a day in day out basis, is the best way for guys to develop and get over the final hump of being at the big league level. So I think the point that you raise is valid, but look, at some level, even at the major league level, and certainly in a year like this year where we're playing the same teams over and over again, it's a very regional schedule. Like, we're seeing the same pitchers over and over again a decent amount too. Yeah. So it's all relative.
Well, I can't help but notice that there have been no postponed games in the National League West or American League. All the postponed games have been in the Central and the East. I mean, the Cardinals and Marlins have been a mess. And I mean, does it signify anything about how careful you have been and these other teams in the West? I mean, I applaud the Giants for continuing with their schedule and not getting caught up like so many Marlins and Cardinals did, because that really cost the team, the organization, and the fan base.
Yeah, you know, it's such a tough environment out there because, you know, I have friends who have, you know, contracted the virus. I'm guessing you know people that have it.
Sure.
Even people that are being really careful, you know, and not doing anything they're not supposed to do. I mean, I know people that, you know, haven't really been out of the house and somehow they got it, whether it was from a piece of mail or, you know, who knows. So for me personally, try not to be critical of any player or organization that you know has had this sprout up, because let's face it, it's just ubiquitous in society right now, and you know it doesn't, you know, have to be a situation where someone necessarily did something wrong. I mean, that said, I think we're all really proud of our players, our staff, how careful they've been, how seriously they're taking this. You know, the leadership of the team, Austin Slater, our player rep. You know, I think they have the right perspective about this, which is, look, we know that some of this is out of our hands, but everything that's in our hands, we're going to do the right way. And that's really carried throughout our organization. We've, you know, instituted family testing, you know, employee testing, even beyond what's required by Major League Baseball. You know, just feel like a lot of those measures, you know, it's a credit to our ownership who have, you know, encouraged us to invest in testing and make sure our environment is as safe as possible.
Sure. Farhan, you've been very vocal supporting the Black Lives Movement. We've seen and read your statements. We see and hear your words on the scoreboard before every game, along with Kapler's and Jalen Davis's, Yastrzemski's, Rennell's. Why do you feel the need to be expressive?
You know, there's obviously some broader things going on in society that, you know, I'm happy to comment on. But, you know, as much as anything, you know, I guess I'll harken back to the Bill Parcells quote, you know, you are what your record says you are. I mean, you can say this in the realm of diversity as well. When you look at the number of African-American players that we have at the major league level, the amount of African-American managers, coaches, front office people, you know, we can trot out every excuse in the book about why that is, but you are what your record says you are. And as an industry, you know, we have to do better. And so that's where, you know, some of these stick to sports stuff doesn't resonate with me, because, you know, we're a big industry and, you know, we have a really important place in society. And I think we have to get our own house in order. And that's why, you know, I'm proud to be a member of the Giants organization that, to your point, is making our support for the Black Lives Matter movement very visible. You know, and then from a broader societal perspective, you know, I would say the same thing, that, you know, there's a clear need for change in society, for a greater sense of racial justice. And, you know, I've learned that, you know, when you're in a position of leadership and you have a voice, you have a responsibility to speak up. And, you know, some of the comments that I've made over the last couple of months, I've been surprised by, you know, some of the feedback I've gotten, you know, recognizing how important it's been to people to hear me speak out, people in the Giants organization, other friends that I have or acquaintances from around the game. And it just makes you realize the responsibility that you have, even more than you would realize. I mean, I've made this comment before, you know, certain things that might have happened in the past, you know, that I found troubling, I might have just texted a couple of friends and said, hey, this is terrible, did you see this? You know, but then we're just all operating in our own echo chambers. And you know, I think we all in the society that we're in right now and some of the challenges that we're facing have a responsibility to speak up beyond those individual echo chambers.
Right. And, you know, we've seen the numbers, the players, African-Americans, you know, 8%, a little bit north of that, at least on the opening day roster last year, you know, 19% in 1995. I mean, two managers, Dusty Baker, Dave Roberts. Major League Baseball is doing some things, the youth initiatives, the RBI program. I've interviewed Tony Regans and Tyrone Brooks, both hired by MLB to help bring in more African Americans at different levels. But particularly the Giants, I mean, you did interview African Americans to be your general manager and manager. I mean, just off the top of my head, Billy Owens and Will Venable, for instance. I mean, they're qualified, they're good. They're still looking for those gigs. Why aren't we seeing more decision makers at the higher levels in baseball, including on the Giants? And I mean, why don't the Giants have that presence in upper management, or for that matter, even on the coaching staff, which is very diverse otherwise?
Right. I think back to that process, the GM process, the manager process. And for us, it was important that we had multiple, for lack of a better word, diversity candidates. And that this wasn't just, checking the box next to, we interviewed one African-American person for this job and one for that job. So that was important to us in the process. I mean, we have prioritized becoming more diverse as a baseball operations group. That certainly includes, not just increasing the number of African Americans in prominent positions, but the number of women as well. Other groups and people of color. These are all really important initiatives for us. And we hear this a lot, but there's great resolve in this organization to do better. And I think to your point, John, one thing that's been a hallmark of the Giants organization and a real positive has been the stability of the leadership. We've had a lot of people in leadership positions for long periods of time. I think that's one reason why diversity is not maybe as reflected in our leadership. But I know all the way to the top of the organization, to, Greg Johnson and Rob Dean, this is a priority. And, for Larry and myself as well, we're certainly going to make it a priority going forward.
Okay, maybe a couple of more. You're coming up here facing the Houston Astros. I mean, they're a different league, but you were with the Dodgers in 17, the World Series, 7 games, and you had personal stake in that series. What is your thought about the Astros scandal, including in regard to the years you were with the Dodgers, where it kind of made a difference?
Can we just go back to talking about Joey Bart? it's tough. I would echo a lot of, what Dodgers players have said, which is that you look back, I mean, that was a heart-wrenching loss, in 2017. I think it was one of the best World Series ever played. It went to 7 games. There was a lot of close games. There was a lot of drama. You're always going to have that what if in your head, that part of it is tough. And obviously for me, I've left the organization, so that kind of chapter is closed for me. And I think there's actually a good number of guys that are still with the Dodger organization, and I know that they're continuing to aspire to win a World Series, and I think that might help them get some closure on it. But, for any of us that were there and are no longer there, I think it's maybe even a tougher pill to swallow. So, I know as an industry, we've turned the page on it. And I think MLB's done a really amazing job, especially in light of the pandemic and some of the issues that we have logistically in ballparks right now. Feel very confident that this kind of thing isn't happening anymore. And that's really important, but I would be lying if I said that, personally, I didn't see all that news coming out, and just feel like, you were maybe cheated out of something. It's a tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. After the Astros, you play the A's, and you were in that organization for a long time, and that's how I got to know you many years ago. And I mean, you were there through the end of 14, and on your watch, and Billy's and David Forrest, everybody's watch. Yeah. I mean, Matt Olson from the 2012 draft, Chad Pinder and Sean Manaea from the 2013 draft, and Matt Chapman from the 2014 draft. Then you go to the Dodgers, and you're there 4 years, but you know, there was a trade made with Frankie Montas heading from LA to Oakland, you know, the Rich Hill, Josh Reddick deal. So you have an attachment to a lot of the key players on that team. And, of course, with Billy Bean and David Force, so many others, it's a stable organization over there. So I wanted to just ask you how much you follow the team. What do you think of the 2020 A's? They win every day, even when they ball. and how do they keep doing it with that budget?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we talked about the stability of the Giants organization. It's certainly true with the A's, too. You know, you may know that Billy's longtime assistant, Betty Shinoda, recently retired. And, you know, I got invited to her retirement party, and I went and, you know, had a chance to, you know, and this is obviously pre-March, pre-COVID, but had a chance to, you know, meet a lot of people that I worked with the A's. Like you said, I left there in 2014, 6 years ago now, it's just a really stable organization. And look, it's amazing how well the A's are playing and how sort of quietly they're doing it. I mean, I know you're talking about it and we're talking about it in the Bay Area, but, you know, I think it just goes to show that, you know, the success that, you know, Billy, David, Bob Melvin, the group there has, I think it goes a little bit underappreciated with the challenges they face. So it's been fun. I know it's going to be a challenge for us next week when we face them, because you're right, they do seem to win every day. But that's you know, it's a fun bragging rights series for the Bay Area in general. And, you know, for my personal relationships with Billy and David and the other guys there, it's certainly going to be the same kind of stakes involved.
Yeah. Well, I lied. Let me just throw one more in, if I could.
Sure.
Bruce Jenkins wrote over the weekend, kind of campaigning to keep those keep the wall closed out there in right field at the ballpark. The ball seems to travel a little better, if indeed that's a reason the ball travels a little better. But would that be a consideration? I know the Knott Hill gang is quite popular out there, but do you think it affects the wind patterns and therefore the flight of the ball, or... And could that be on the table for leaving the next year?
I don't really want to speak out of turn. Ballpark kind of decisions are, you know, a lot of people would be involved in those. But to answer the question, it's certainly a plausible theory for me. But I think about, you know, we made a number of changes to the ballpark, obviously putting the bullpens out in center field. You know, I think anytime you change structurally the configuration of the ballpark, you know, wind patterns are so complicated, it's really hard to know how things are going to be affected. So if some wind pattern expert came in and said, putting the bullpens in center field has increased the carry, you know, out to right field, I would believe it. None of us really know any better. So I think between the, you know, changes we made in center field, you know, not having fans in the park, who knows how that affects things in the aerodynamics. So I think that could be due to a number of factors, but I think we're open to anything. I mean, certainly I know our players have been very happy to see some of that carry out to right field, and hopefully we can take advantage of it in these home games we have coming up.
Well, Farhan, thank you so much for this, and thanks for your honesty and willingness to address all these topics. I much appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I wanted to again thank Farhan Zaidi for joining us on the Giant Splash podcast. Henry Schulman and I will continue bringing you podcasts as we venture deeper into the 2020 season.
The Giant Splash is a production of the San Francisco Chronicle. Podcast producers are King Kaufman and Alan Johnson. The theme song, Batter Up, was written and performed by Lauren Gold and Ray Eastless. Support The Splash and all of our great journalism by signing up for a Chronicle membership at sfchronicle.com/pod.